Continue track 2, page 12. One great kingdom of Mount Zion, the 12th hour. For the kingdom of the heavens, said to Yahshua, is like unto a grain of the mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-32. Yet the number of the children of the Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, that cannot be numbered, nor measured, nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, that it shall be said unto them that ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Hosea 1:10. And the Yahshua teaching them, rejecting them, and crucifying them, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom which the Yahweh pronounced upon them when through his prophet he declared, you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. Though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, ye are not my people. In other words, he's telling the apostles of the New Testament that Yahshua chose to start the New Testament kingdom of the first phase of that two-part brass mountain that's mentioned in the prophecy of Zechariah 6. Says, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them of the ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. See the Romans 9:24-26. This is a little bit confusing the way V.T. Hollis wrote it, because he told ancient Israel, the Pharisees, you're the descendants of ancient Israel, and you are not my people anymore, since you rejected my son Yahshua at the cross, and you helped hang him on the cross. But to those converts of yours, the 12 apostles of Yahshua, that's going to raise up the second brass mountain that Yahshua has chosen for the New Testament, they are the descendants of ancient Israel. They are the descendants of ancient Israel, of the ancient tribe of Judah. Okay, of the house of David. They come through his line. I want to say something else. The Pharisees, I used to say, was of the tribe of Judah. No, they weren't. They were all mixed from the different 12 ten tribes that had been scattered. There's a lot of those that had infiltrated and come down to Judah there before the cross, and they made up the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? And so that's why they were called scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, because they had drifted back into Jerusalem unknown to the people at Jerusalem who they were. A lot of those infiltrated from the ten tribes that had been lost and had lost their identity. And Yahshua's teaching, then rejecting them and crucifying him, the Jewish nation, and when I say Jewish nation, all of us call them the Hebrew nation here as the Jewish nation. So really, the Jewish nation is the tribe of Judah, but the Hebrew nation is of the 12 tribes conjointly joined together, because all the 12 tribes together are called Hebrew Israelites. Alright. So it says that, you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh, though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, Ancient Israel, you are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, Ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. See Romans 9:24-26. So, happily, the same people, Israel and Judah, were set aside and scattered. Will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gathered together and appoint themselves with the one head, and they shall come up out of the land, Isaiah 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, the lot from the days of their captivity in the Babylon, even unto the very day, the children of the Israel shall afterwards sometimes in the future, says the scripture, return and seek the Yahshua, their Redeemer, by his blood. And David, antipical David, as their king. It didn't say David here, and maybe it just means literally ancient David here, because it's these resurrected people that are going to be resurrected that are saved from the days of David, that was under him in his day. They are going to be resurrected. They're going to say, well, where is David our king of? And where is Yahshua? The one that was his partner before we died anciently. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to say, well, where is he at? They're going to come up out of the land where they were buried in that part of the world of Israel. And they're going to come seeking David, their Redeemer. Shashir, their Redeemer, and David, their king. Okay? And they're going to find out that there's an antitypical Yahshua and an antitypical David, and Yahshua is the antitype of his own self. But VGR says Yahshua was also a type when he came to this earth the first time. Where's his antitype? He plays also his antitype when he comes back at the second advent. Type and antitype for Yahshua. First and second advent. And accordingly, it is those who fear the Yahshua and his goodness, his goodness, it says, Bruteal says the Christian Israelites, it's his goodness, which is those that was resurrected of the Old Testament by his, that believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant, that use the animal blood as a proxy, that the worship with the animal blood in the Old Testament, believing in the blood of the everlasting covenant, these are the ones that Yahshua resurrected of the Old Testament. This is what he's talking about. For a complete study of the Hosea 1 and 2, read our tract number 4, the latest news remote. From a clear-cut fact in the preceding paragraph, we see that the children of the Israel, dispersed and without a king these many days, are to return, not as the Jews, but as the antitypical apostolic believers in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the New Testament, and Yahshua as the reigning high priest and king, as the Lamb at the same time, Revelation 14:1-4, this consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and the two tribes, and with Benjamin, and Israel the ten tribe of the north to set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. Thou Son of Man, says to Yahshua, take thee one stick. Let's go back and read that again. Thou Son of Man, says to Yahweh, take thee one stick and write upon it for the Judah, two tribes, and for the children of the Israel of the ten tribes, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for the Joseph, and the stick of the Ephraim for all the house of the Israel, his companions, and join them one unto another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say, unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph that is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of the Judah of the two tribes, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. So now, where is this going to take place? And where? It's going to take place in the 12th hour that we're in now. It's going to take place where Yahshua comes and gathers the 12 tribes of the 144,000 representatives that will represent these two sticks joined together. When the 144,000 of the Lamb on the Mount of Zion, they're going to represent the fact that Yahshua has now gathered through his servant and typical David the 12 tribes of Israel, prophets, priests, and kings of the 144,000. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of the Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on the every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into the two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. Sure, the Savior, Redeemer, and David, and antipical David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one. Well, it didn't say antipical David. Actually, the Bible just says and David, because David is going to rule over those that are resurrected of the Old Testament that he ruled over anciently. They're going to be in this kingdom with the living. They're going to join this living here, according to Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. They're going to join those ancient resurrected ones. They're going to join these modern living ones, and start with 144,000 as one kingdom. If they're all of the same lineage, of, you know, of each tribe. Okay, let's go. It says, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Redeemer and Savior, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, for they shall also walk in my judgment, observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and there shall shall dwell therein, and even they and their children and their children's children forever. So forever means it goes into the heavens during the millennium. So they start this dwelling together forever in the millennium, but and that starts right here in the 12th hour when they're gathered together, and then it goes to probation closing, and then the righteous that are preserved forever, they go into the millennium, which continue dwelling in this tabernacle of David. This tabernacle of David set by here on earth first, but you know what? This earth passes away. And so Yahshua, he says, behold, I create new heavens and new earth. Now don't be surprised if Yahshua don't start creating this new heaven, and Yahweh will start creating this new heaven and new earth at the same time just closing this old world out. Don't be surprised. But we know it's a mystery. During the 1,000 years that nobody knows exactly where that third heaven is that we're going to be taken to, and the Bible certainly don't make it clear. But it does make it clear that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's all it says about dwelling in his Father's house for the millennium. That's all it says there. It says when he comes back, that wherever I'm at, that's where you're going to be. That's all it says. So let's say in Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 13, 14, it says that when you join the kingdom of heaven, you are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, here on earth. Well, who cares? Once you're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, you're secured for eternity. No matter how or where you go and dwell, you're dwelling forever whenever you join the kingdom of heaven right here now. You're in the kingdom of heaven. You're in eternity. Okay, so I said, for this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, will yet be gathered from among the heathen among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, Daniel 2:44-45, Daniel 2:34-35, goes to 44 and 45. Moreover saith the Yahshua, I will make a covenant of the peace with them. In other words, when you see this word moreover, that means in addition to what I've already done, I'm going to make a covenant of the peace with them. So it would be an everlasting covenant throughout eternity of the peace with this independent kingdom of the David that is set up separately and independently from the rest of the saints of eternity. They don't have their own eternal world to live in, this lineage of David and all of his converts of the Old and New Testament together. That's new life, folks. That's going to unfold as time goes on. God has always shown that to me. Moreover, say to Yahshua, I will make, okay. So he says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Savior, Redeemer, and they shall be my people, because I have redeemed them by my blood. That's what makes them the people of Yahshua. He inherited them and he claimed them by his own blood. He said, and the heathen shall know, that's the Catholics and infiltrators of the Adventist Church that had accepted this here false Catholic doctrine of seeing one person as a Godhead, taking the mark of the beast. That's what it's called, the heathen here. And also those Gentiles outside of the parameters of this great gathering of the saints in the world. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, who sanctify the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew Israelites, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Let's go back and read that again. My tabernacle also shall be with them. That's the tabernacle of David. It's talking about the ancient Davidites and the modern-day Davidites. Because it says there in Amos 9, Yahweh's going to send his son Yahshua to raise up the tabernacle of David in these last days. Tabernacle of David. So when he says tabernacle, he's talking about the tabernacle there. Yea, I will be there, it says God here. He's called God. He's referring to Yahweh the Father talking here. Let's see if that is so or not. I will be the Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Well, he would have to be by saying that through my son Yahshua that has inherited them here on the earth. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay. The tabernacle of David rules over the 12 tribes. The 144,000. It's the tribe of Judah. That's the lawgiver. That is the leading priesthood of the other 11 tribes that have been gathered to the 144,000. David is the lawgiver, and he is ruling over all. Not only his kingdom of David, but also of the other 11 tribes of Israel. I know that because Judah and Benjamin's joined together, separated from the 10 tribes to begin with. So Benjamin is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if David's going to just rule over Benjamin and not the other 10 tribes, no, he's going to rule over all of them. This antithetical David. Since, yes, Yahweh says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, Yahshua, do sanctify Israel, and since he can neither multiply nor sanctify after the close of the probation, the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated through the and in the probationary time of the times of the restitution of all things. And that's Acts 3:19-21, where that information is recorded in the New Testament. For the 144,000 being as the first fruits, there must therefore be the second fruit. For where there is the first, there must also be the second. And as the first fruits of the service of Yahweh, they must consequently be sent unto all of the nations for the gathering of the second fruit, Isaiah 66:19-20. for the great multitude of this 79 that John saw after the vision of the seating of the 144,000. For a detailed study of the study of the 144,000 and the great multitude, see our chat number 1, pre-11th hour extract, the Ship of God, Volume 1. For the fact that in their mouth is found no guile, Revelation 14:5, plainly goes to show that they are for the proclaiming nothing. Let's do that again. For the proclaiming only the pure plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant, which is the present truth, ever since Yahshua resurrected from the cross, and that was 2,000 years ago, and makes their words as authoritative and as a mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the even greater power and authority, for in that day there shall be Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as the Yahweh, the Father, and as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Or let's do it better. Anyway, it says, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. That's right, 12:8. Also in that day, further says the Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David and unto the inhabitants of the Jerusalem for the sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. For this fountain, for the sin and for the uncleanness, is finally open unto the house of the David, as the crying evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the ancient two kingdoms of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, Judah, is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the preaching of the plan of salvation of the good news to the blood of the everlasting gospel of everlasting of covenant of the Yahshua. As the good news in all of the world, they call it the gospel. Yahweh spelled it out in the law of Moses for these last days. That's in Deuteronomy 31. We call it the song of Moses that was hidden inside the Ark of the Covenant that Jeremiah sequestered, secreted into it, the cave. It is there to be opened up in these last days, showing that this is going to happen. Okay. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, that I will call the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And you know what? It just impressed me. He's going to call off the idols out of the land. Where are your idols that are the living idols in the land? That is your false preachers of these false churches, starting with the Catholic Church. They're your walking, talking idols. That's what he's really talking about. Okay, and it shall come to pass in that day, said the Yahshua the host, that I will cut off the names, so there it is right there, of those false preachers, starting with the Catholic Church, and those that have infiltrated the Adventist pulpits of the Seventh-day Adventists, out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Zechariah 13:2. And who is your prophet? That's your self-proclaimed answer for Elijah's, that there's many of them in the world today claiming to be the Elijah. This is pointed out here in Zechariah 13:2. That is at this time that this preaching of the plan of the salvation of the brother everlasting children of the Yeshua by the proclaiming the everlasting kingdom. Like the claimant of the everlasting kingdom is set up, it will be a church without the guile, free from all idolaters. Notice it says idolaters, people that worship false doctrine, like the believing in the false doctrine, the Catholic false doctrine of the three in one person of Godhead. Take the place of the 23rd day prophecy that was given to Ellen G. White in the Adventist. Okay. And it shall be fed by the one shepherd, even my servant David. Now, this is my antipical servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, Yeshua, will be their Savior, Redeemer, Emancipator, and my servant, antitypical David, as a prince among them. Ezekiel 34:23-24. Okay. When the Yeshua thus takes the reins in his own hand, which he did, starting at the Passover 2003, Kermit, Texas, that was prophesied by Verlis W. Johnson to take place that year. And he gave the reason from the prophecies during 2001. He said this will all start at the Passover 2002. He prophesied it. And it did indeed. Yeshua came to the threshold of the house of Kermit, and he was there to witness that Passover and to take charge of it. But Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Okay, it says, and again rules the church as a theocratic. Let's read that again. When the Yeshua thus takes the reins in his own hand, testimonies to ministers, page 300, and again rules the apostolic church, represented by that one great brass mountain of Zechariah 6 that was formed into two great brass mountains, one for the apostolic church anciently, the first one, and the second one for the antitypical apostolic church of the house of David. It rules the church as a theocratic government, that means religious and civil. Executed. They're going to be an independent, righteous nation that has their own government, their self-rule, and they're going to rule the civil law and the heaven's law of the tabernacle or the sanctuary of the true worship. That's what the office theocratic means. In the last days, it shall come to pass, as says the Isaiah, that the mountain of the Yeshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hill, and all the nations shall flow unto it. Isn't this amazing? That's the great transformation these last days. Closing out the old world of this sin, and bring in the new world of righteous people, only occupying the new world. Right here in the 12th Prebiotic House that we're in right now, all this is going to take place. Okay. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain, house of David, of the Yeshua, and to the house of the David, of the Yahweh, of the Jacob. Okay, so when I said that, and the house of the Yahweh of Jacob, it's talking about ancient Jacob, and there was resurrected saints back then in the Old Testament. They're the house of the Yahweh of the Old Testament talking about here. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of the Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshare, and their spears into the pruning hook. Nations shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here in this 12th parabolic hour, before probation closes, in our time, in these last days, Isaiah 2, 2-4. And this kingdom indeed has already been set up. Another fact, Rollo Johnson laid the foundation for it in 1970 with the creation calendar. Okay? So with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom, and when was it ushered in? It was set up by Rollo Johnson with the creation calendar in 1970. Foundation of it. House of Esau was in charge of it, but nevertheless, Esau was the firstborn, and he had the birthright until it was taken away from him. He had, and Esau at least had the birthright for 33 years before he lost it in his day. So with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be on the one hand a great awakening among the nations, scrapping vast stores of the war implements that they have for years been laying up. They shall seek to go up unto and become a subject of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45. And for the joining of the armies, the 144,000, that great army there in Joel chapter 2, and that great army of Yahshua when he rides forth from the heavens on the wild horse, Revelation 19, allowing him for the fighting and the fighting for them. While on the other hand, there shall be the feverish war preparation among those who refuse for the awakening, hurling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into the weapons of the war against the kingdom of Yahshua, his purified congregation of the tabernacle of the 12 tribes, Hebrew Israelites, joined together. It says so there right there in Revelation 17:12-14. Okay. Joel 3:9-12, Zechariah 12:3. Therefore the gates shall be opened continually, they shall not be shut day nor night. Okay, that's when this purified kingdom is set up. Also, this is when the righteous, the wicked among the righteous have been separated, starting with the Adventist church. And so it says it's going to be in a kingdom of this year. And the gates are going to be open continually, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings also may be brought. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow on themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, the Zion of the Holy One of the Israel, Isaiah 60:10-14, for the further study on this phase of the study, see the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 173-181, explaining Micah 4, and as a typical example of how the battle is the Yashur, read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, 19, 24 to 30. But being far, very far from such a high and a holy estate, the church must be purified. Okay. Well, let's bring a close to our second study at this time, right here. And then for our number three of this study, we will begin with the church must be purified on page 20 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour.